When I traveled back to Austin, Texas, a few springs ago, the bluebonnets were just as stunning, and the Texas pit barbecue just as delicious, and the friends I visited just as precious. But I was dismayed, shocked even, that I didn't recognize the city I had loved when I lived there in the mid-70s. Mainly, I suppose, it was the traffic. And not just the volume of it, but the chaos. The highway traffic felt bogged down by an apparent random pattern of ramps and exits, frontage roads, and elevated lanes. Well, I thought maybe if I had lived here over all these decades, I wouldn't be so bewildered by all the changes. But no, my friends, my local friends told me, they were just as distressed as I at the ways the city had changed as it rapidly grew without sufficient planning for schools, roads, and utilities. Like many cities, it had embraced growth without intentional preparation. I joined this fellowship in 1990, when there were about 60 adult members and one or two children. We now number nearly 300, with nearly half that number in our School of the Spirit. And those are just the official numbers. They don't take into account the many committed and active and pledging friends and the steady stream of visitors. At every stage of our growth, we have tried to be intentional about how we change as a religious community, about how we serve greater and greater numbers of people, about ensuring that our changes reflect our values, and about accompanying growth in numbers with spiritual growth. Right now, we are embarking on a big response to our growing numbers with a major building remodel and expansion. I am so impressed with and proud of the work of the building committee, the combined campaigns committee, and all the people, including many of you, who have joined them in being very intentional and about making sure that the finished product and the process are in line with our Unitarian Universalist principles. Our growth also requires that we pay attention to and be intentional about the changing ways we care for one another. This morning, we are rolling out a new way of doing that. We will be commissioning our new lay pastoral care associates. But before I get to a description of this program that many of you may have heard about but don't know the details, I'd like to put it into context. The care we give and receive in this fellowship is not just a fringe benefit of belonging to a Unitarian Universalist congregation. It is central to our faith. Because ours is a covenantal rather than a creedal faith. We choose to be in this company, to hear each other's tears and laughter, to make sense of how we experience the world, not because we follow a creed that prescribes that we believe all the same things, but because we make a covenant with each other, a promise to one another about the ways we will behave together in our individual and collective journeys in this life, in our search for truth and meaning, our quest for peace and justice, and in our relationship with all creation, and in our times of joy and sorrow. Now, Unitarian Universalist churches use covenants in a lot of ways. We use them here in a lot of ways, in small groups, between the ministers and the congregation. And next weekend, we will be voting on a covenant of right relationships. But there's one general covenant that especially speaks to me and is used by a number of UU congregations, which is derived from our spiritual ancestors, the Pilgrims of 17th century New England. It reads in part, "We pledge to walk together in the ways of love, that we and our children might be fulfilled, and that we might speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill." And what does walking together in the ways of love mean but to care for one another, to support another when they are frightened or angry or troubled, to offer each other compassion, acceptance, and commitment, to be with each other in ways that fulfill our congregational mission to transform lives, to transform the world, and to build community. Our new Lay Pastoral Care Associates program is an addition to the many ways that we already care for each other. At the most informal level, we all have particular friends in this congregation, and we know their lives and their joys and sorrows directly. When your friend is hurting, you might send them a card or visit them in the hospital or call to talk or take them brownies. And then there are groups of people who care for each other, even though they are not necessarily friends outside the particular group that they interact with here at the fellowship, like the choir, the board, and lots of committees. We care for each other in these groups when word gets around that someone is sick or needs a ride or is having a hard time, and we reach out to them. When we share and listen to each other during check-in, even at the most task-oriented meetings, we are caring for one another. Now, we also have people whose caring ministry to this fellowship is to support people who live near them by arranging rides and meals and similar kindnesses when they are in need. These are the neighborhood connectors, and their mission is building relationships within neighborhoods to care for our community during health crises and challenges in life's journey. When you sign up for a meal train, when you sign up with a meal train to take food to someone in need, you are participating in the Neighborhood Connectors' valuable ministry. The Caring Council pays attention and supports all of these ways that we care for one another. They arrange volunteers to carry out memorial service receptions and offer programming to help all of us be more caring and more effective in our caring. And at the most formal level, the ministers support individuals and families who are struggling with pastoral care that includes visits, brief counseling, referral to additional resources. They meet with the bereaved and plan memorial services, and they officiate at that most important and meaningful ritual. But when a congregation grows as large as this one has, which is a blessing, another kind of caring ministry is needed. In a congregation this size, the ministers can't possibly tend to all of the needs for pastoral care. There just isn't enough time. So what many congregations do is develop a program with trained lay people who take on some of the pastoral care responsibilities. And sometimes this happens informally and without a lot of planning or forethought. Committees or affinity groups or individuals or neighborhood connectors, just step up and do what needs to be done, like Aunt Hildy did. But remember what happens when a city grows and grows without sufficient intention and attention to details? It can be chaotic. The same kind of thing can happen to the caring ministries of a congregation. Without intentionally growing our ways of caring for one another, sometimes needs go unmet. Or Aunt Hildy or Uncle Hugo or a choir member or a neighborhood connector find themselves caring for someone who really needs more attention or a different kind of attention than they are equipped to provide. We don't want that to happen. So over the past year, we have been intentional about developing our new Lay Pastoral Care Associates program. A lot of people have been involved. The ministers, the caring council, neighborhood connectors, the associates themselves, and myself. We've consulted books and webinars and other congregations. We have recruited 7 caring people who we know are respected in this congregation and capable of this type of ministry, who are trusted to keep pastoral care conversations in confidence within the caring circle that includes the other associates and the ministers, who may need to be consulted once in a while. They have all attended a lengthy weekend training and have taken basic mental health first aid class. They have committed to monthly meetings where we will support each other and get further training. We will formally welcome them into this new ministry in a ceremony of commitment in just a few minutes. So, what can you expect from this program that you might have heard a little bit about? A pastoral care associate, sometimes we shorten that, like we shorten Unitarian Universalist, UU, sometimes we shorten that to LPCA. They offer one-on-one attention to persons in the congregation who are in special need. That special need might include, among other things, major life changes, like the birth or adoption of a child, retirement, loss of a job, divorce, marriage, death or chronic illness of a loved one, or your own health challenge or hospitalization, gender or sexual preference struggles, isolation and loneliness. A pastoral care associate offers ministry of support and presence. She is not a therapist. He is not a financial or medical or legal advisor. A pastoral care associate is not there to tell you how to solve the problems that you are experiencing, but to let you know that you are not alone in dealing with those problems, to walk with you in the ways of love. If a situation arises that's beyond what a pastoral associate is equipped to handle, they will help you find more appropriate resources. They will get referrals from the ministers, from Candles of Community, and from the neighborhood connectors. You can visit, you can ask for a visit or tell us of someone you know who's in need by talking directly to one of the associates or to me, or by contacting the director of the program, which would be me, by email. We'll put that email address in a listserv announcement. It's important for everyone in this ministry, for everyone to know that this ministry is available and what to expect from it. So over the next few weeks, we will be reinforcing what I've explained to you here this morning with a few more details and for the benefit of people who couldn't be here this weekend. Look for notes in Connections Weekly and on the listserv. Look for a brochure with information on this new program and the ways that it augments the other ways we care for each other. Feel free to contact me or one of the associates or the Caring Council if you have questions or suggestions. We have been intentional about building this program, and we want to be intentional about maintaining it and improving it as well. I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts about how this new lay ministry fits into the big picture of our religious lives. The new LPCAs are not just helping out the ministers because the ministers are too busy. Back in the day, you may remember this, you used to hear sometimes about fathers babysitting their children, which is absurd because fathers and mothers are partners in parenting. And lay people are partners with ministers in caring for one another. It is one of our religious obligations, and it benefits the one who gives care as well as the one who receives it. Mary Gibb sent me this reflection after we attended a meeting about planning for memorial services. "I was reluctant," she wrote. "I had never coordinated a reception for a memorial service before I was asked to do one for Bev Seed's service in August. Right away, I began to check tasks off the master to-do list as our dedicated volunteers stepped forward to help. 4 receptions later, I now realize that this bringing of food and creating sacred space is about much more than a task list. I see it as a spiritual practice. Showing up to bear witness to someone's passing and the full beauty of their life. As a caring community, we do our best to provide comfort and ease the pain of loss, even if it's just for an afternoon. I am grateful to be a part of it. And we are grateful for all who care for each other in these ways. So I invite you, I challenge all of us, myself included, to use the reality of our growing numbers as an opportunity to grow in spiritual depth. Every one of us can be a part of this congregation's caring ministry. Every one of us can grow spiritually from helping others. Say yes when you are asked to provide a meal. Offer your full attention to someone in distress. Reach out to someone who has shared a sorrow during candles. And finally, it's important to remember that the care we give and receive within our fellowship can make us more effective agents for transforming the world. For it is in caring for those in our congregation who we may not know well that we learn to care beyond our choosing, that we learn to care for those we may never meet, for those who may be very different from us, racially, religiously, politically. Remember that in walking together in the ways of love, we and our children might be fulfilled and be able to speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill. May it be so.